The number one thing, if I ask anyone in staffing, what's the one thing your candidates ask for is pay, right? That's never going to go away. It's always, what can you pay me? And that's always been a continuous result that we've seen. But guys, here's what really shocked me. The second and third thing were completely different than what we've seen. Second thing that came up was job security is more important. As we go through this uncertain times in the economy, a lot of workers said that they want job security, that they want to know that their organizations are going to, you know, allow them to stay on and grow within the same company. The third thing that came up was treat me with respect. I thought this was very interesting because, you know, obviously we all talk about that, right? We all have certain processes in place in our organizations and we say, okay, let's respect each other, let's empower each other. But if it wasn't an issue, it wouldn't have come up.
This episode is brought to you by Leap Consulting Solutions. Digitally transform your business the right way, the Leap way. Visit www.leapconsultingsolutions.com to find out more on how your business can build, change, and adopt technology the right way, the Leap way.
What is happening, Rob?
Lauren Jones, I'm doing all right. How you doing over there?
I am still there and test. Don't put up. Then you went here.
It's Wednesday? Guys, we're recording on Wednesday, October the 18th. You're going to hear this on Tuesday, whatever the day is after this.
Robert is here.
Hey, and now we're going to have some good times. Lauren, who do we have on the pod today?
We have Ziba Alizadeh.
Ooh. That was amazing.
I did so good.
I could not get it right. So, Lauren.
Yeah, market VP for Remex, which is EmployBridge, powered by Blue Crew. Now, let's not forget that. We love technology forward organizations. And she is in charge of the Western region. She's a Westie, just like
me. I see
that. Hello. Let's go West Coast. We're taking over today.
No East Coast, West Coast podcast going on over here. Don't worry. By the way, just like I call Lauren LJ, we're going to call Ziba Z. So if you hear us refer to somebody as Z, we are talking to Ziba.
That's her.
That's right.
That's just what everyone else calls her, apparently, unless you're in trouble with her mom.
I'd like to think that we have cool names for all our podcasts.
Oh, instead of your name, it's your pod name?
It's your pod name. Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, the team over at EmployBridge Remex does a really cool survey every year. Ziva's going to give us some background, but the survey is called The Voice of the American Worker, which obviously is very important and obviously very important to staffing and recruiting companies.
Before we get to that amazing stuff, we want to learn more about Z. Tell our listeners what book you are recommending today.
Oh, my gosh. So I'm actually reading this book, which is changing my life, but it's called Heal Your Life by Louise Hay. And I was at Thrive 2 weeks ago with you, Lauren. And one of the things that I walked away from was the shitting, right? The stop shitting.
Wow, stop shitting all over yourself.
I was there, too.
Right? And that's what we're going to stop doing. So it talks a lot about that. I love it. If you haven't read it, definitely get it. Not your typical book.
What's it called? What was the book
it's
again?
It's called Heal Your Life.
Heal Your Life. I love that. Stop shitting all over yourself.
Yeah. And stop shitting
pretty
all over
much.
Yourself?
Pretty okay. much.
By the way, Z, I was at Thrive, too.
Yes. Rob is our biggest ally. And
I'd have to say, Rob, I was
good in the Barbie box and everything.
I remember you, but I saw you there. We saw Lauren.
I did my sorority squat and my heel flick in the Barbie box with Elle.
Yep. He was in the Barbie box. He did the sorority squat. He did it all.
So you know, I feel a little left out. You know, you call me your make a picture in the Barbie box. That's a little disappointing, but.
Well, next year. We're going to have an opportunity.
There you go.
All right. So obviously we're in the staffing industry. What is your most memorable moment in staffing?
Oh my gosh. So second job in staffing. And this was almost 20 years ago. I placed a senior accountant in New Mexico, he called me. It was during the holidays. And he said that the fact that you got me this job allowed me to put dinner on the table for my wife and three kids.
That's why we do what we
absolutely
do.
You know, we go through every single human emotion in one morning alone, right? Drives us crazy. We love this business, but it is what it is. But that one moment changed my life, and that was it. I stayed what?
Well, we're in sales.
Yes, absolutely. So
best type.
Exactly.
Ever.
Yes. Best day ever. Okay. Well, so tell us about, I mean, that's a good one, but tell us about your greatest achievement.
Oh, gosh. Greatest achievement in stopping in our line of work?
In general.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So greatest achievement for me was relocating to the United States. I moved here when I was 14. I didn't speak English. So I only knew how to say yes, hello, no, and thank you. Not thank you, thank you. So I learned English, obviously, here. It was my third language, but just growing here and, you know, making this home. So I think that's really one of my biggest accomplishments in life.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I love that meme now that says, like, if someone's speaking any language badly, it probably means they speak another language. So, like, have a little grace.
Right?
Be a good human and just help them. Or, like, give a little chuckle and be like, oh, hey, you know, it's set this way.
Yes, absolutely. You know what? That's such a great point, because 20 plus years later, I still say things the wrong way. If I'm too tired or too excited, right, something comes out the wrong way. So I don't think it ever goes away.
Listen, can you guess how I pronounce it? Like, can you try to spell the way that I pronounce the word W-A-T-E-R from New Jersey?
Oh, I know this. Water. Because we talked about it.
Yes. Water. It's W-U-D-D-A-E.
Water. There's no R in your language.
There's no E-R. It's just A-H.
Yes.
Water.
Don't snack, I have water.
Water.
Hey, that race. Listen, you got water and a roof over your head, you're good. All right. Let's go. More important than your greatest achievement is, what is your greatest failure to date? Doesn't have to be work related, but can be.
Oh, greatest failure. I think, so this is somewhat personal, but I do have to share. So I think my greatest failure was, you know, though I've been very successful throughout our industry, at one point in my career, I forgot what the real values of life are. So when my mom passed 15 years ago, and when she passed, I was working so much, I didn't get a chance to go back home and say goodbye. So I do regret that. And I look at that as a failure, but it's also been one of my greatest lessons. And this is something I always talk to clients and my team members about, is that there's not necessarily a work-life balance. It's not one or the other. It's really being able to manage both, right? Living a quality of life, spending valuable time with your loved ones, but at the same time, focusing on your career and the next steps in your life. So I think that was probably something that I look at as a failure, but also probably one of my biggest lessons.
Writing down the sad line, guys, but let's get
Was she in the U.S. or was she in Iowa?
She was back home. Yeah, she was back home. I didn't get a chance to go see. But she lived here. She was just visiting. And then, of course, I didn't get a chance to go back.
Yes. Got it. All right, another most important question.
Well, we're going to take a hard right, and we'll go dog or cat?
Dogs all day long. Got
my dog and
golf
my
lap.
Dog all day long.
Golf lap.
Yes, we like you, Z.
I like that. Yeah, we knew that.
What are we going to do if someone says cat, Elle?
I don't know. Maybe just end the recording right there.
You know, we wanted to invite you, but I think there's been a mistake in our schedule. We're going to have to sometime never.
Great getting to know you, but due to the fact that you like cats, we gotta go.
Oh, I can't. Because you know what's funny? Is we would actually do it.
We might.
And there'd be no hesitation. Like, they said cat, and I'm like, one of us would be
Megan McCann loves cats. She's got two, and we love her. So.
Oh, we did love Megan. You're right. We did ask her this question, too, and she told us cats.
And she said cat.
I feel like Megan has more clout, though. Like, if it's someone we love, we'd be like, oh, you're like cats.
We love Megan.
All right.
Okay, so now let's get into it.
Back
to Rob.
Yes.
Yeah, so thank you, by the way, because I was totally going to skip that, Lauren.
I know.
Voice of the American Worker. I love this for the industry. I love this for talent acquisition people. I don't know. Z, are you a fan of the Freakonomics Radio podcast?
I am.
Did you? And so I've down a rabbit hole. They have a, so Voice of the American Worker, the episode of about why two parents are better, that they just, maybe it was like a month ago they released it. If you have not listened to that episode and you're in staffing or in education or just a human who cares about other humans, go listen to it. It was super interesting. Yeah. So I have to shout out to Stephen Dubner and that team there. That is such a crazy episode. But the Voice of the American Worker is super important about the quality of life for Americans and how we find meaning and integrate life and work. So Z is going to share the five trends. And then we're going to go through and ask some more questions. So Z, give us some background about the survey and also the five trends that you guys
found. Yeah, absolutely. So first and foremost, we started doing this in 2007 at EmployBridge. And I just love the way you put it. The goal really for us, Rob and Lauren, is to learn what matters most to those who make up the engine of the U.S. economy. That's what it comes down to, right? Understand what matters, what people that are working want, and really share that data with employers so that we can set them up for success as it aligns with their staffing methodologies, right? Now, this is something that we have shared as an organization over the years with our clients, but we can also share it with companies that are not necessarily our direct clients or are partnered with us, because really the goal here is to help, like you said, right? Care about human beings, care about our economy, and share that data with as many people as possible. Now, as far as, the survey itself, it does go out every year. You know, obviously it goes out to, I would say, roughly around 2,000 individuals that are just within the professional space. We do survey different industries and different skill sets of individuals within the manufacturing, logistics, professional. We recently added, I would say 3 years ago, we added our contact center solution as well as now healthcare. So it's really going through that and understanding, you know, what's important, right? What comes first? What do people look for in not just their current jobs, but really also in order for them to make moves? What do they look for the next level of their career and the next with their next position?
I love that.
Awesome. So what are the five trends for the year?
It's great. So a couple of things. First thing that came up is turnover is costly. We all know that, right? But 33% of employees leave within the first 6 months of employment, and it costs employers roughly about 16% of their gross annual earnings. So every time someone turns over, the organization is spending about 16% of their annual salary on that turnover cost. Second thing that came up is worker satisfaction matters, that a lot of engaged employees will stay with a company. About 85% are actually less likely to leave their job if they're engaged in the company that they're working for, and there is more production that's seen across the board. Third thing that came up was, you know, surprise, surprise, right? The gig model, the enhanced workplace models, hybrid, remote. About 12% of white collar workers are currently working from home, and about 90% of workers wanting flexibility in the marketplace. So that's something that's so important. Majority of our employees that we're placing with our clients are remote. Within the healthcare space, it's about 50-50, but majority of them are either remote or hybrid. And if they're going back, right, more employers are asking them to go back because those numbers are down. They're certainly going back, but it doesn't mean they're happy about it. The fourth thing that came up is AI, right? I think that we all know about it, right? It's here. It's been here. It's nothing new, but it's really taking the next step. About 78% of employees are reporting happiness, right? Saying that they're happier when they're able to use AI. And about 51% of them say that it allows them to have a better work-life balance. So they're all very connected. But it's really implementing AI and what differences it's going to make in any organization's productivity. And then the fifth one is really the new technologies that we're seeing are going to require upskilling. So 62% of business leaders are actually going to be investing in training and upskilling programs in 2023. And about 90% of Americans that were surveyed by Forbes saw the need to acquire a new skill set. So those five trends are probably the most important trends we've observed.
Wait, so real quick, we were at Staffing World. Verizon in Charlotte was doing an upskilling and reskilling training in the convention center when we were there for Staffing World. I don't know if anyone saw it, but it It's set it on like the board outside the room. It said upskilling and reskilling Verizon Charlotte. Yeah, I was like,
that's,
I wanted to go, but I was wandering around.
Yeah, we are in skills-based workforce right now. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. I do think that employers are going to be more concentrated on what is it that they're trying to achieve? What is the desired outcome? And how can I put talent in there to get me to that desired outcome? And so it, what skill exactly do I need to get to said outcome? But, you know, there, and as it pertains to AI, I mean, this one's tough for me on surveys because 64, you know, SIA did a survey and it said 64% of recruiters were excited about AI. But then when you go to answer the public and you look at what are they actually searching on, what are people actually searching on when it pertains to AI? AI replacing my job, AI taking recruiting jobs. They're so excited about it, right? And yet terrified at the same time, question mark. You know, was there not a bullet for I'm excited and terrified? And so I think that companies and right? I think that, and there's a survey out there that says that workers are demanding more from employers. They're no longer willing to settle for low pay, few benefits. I mean, we saw the first increase in unionization since 2014 in 2022. So workers are asking more from employers. And so AI can do that. But I think that we have to empower them through education and upskilling. And right, I've said before, and I'll say it again, AI is not going to take your job, but a recruiter that knows how to use AI. And that applies to every single occupation. And so there's so many ways AI can be applied. And I just think that, you know, as employers, we have to be mindful. He or she who has the candidate wins. And so how do we retain those candidates? And we're in the biggest skills divide since World War II, you know? So we got to.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The Freakonomics episode that I was referencing speaks about that too. Z, by the way, Lauren, every time Lauren says, I've said it before and I said it again, I really want her to embrace her inner Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle and say, man, I love being a turtle.
She never does it.
I never do. I love being a turtle. Okay. I'll say it before and I'll say it again. Man, I love being a turtle.
You know what? I can stop recording now because my day is complete. Anyway, all right. So again, lots of data came out of this survey. Thank you for sharing those five. Not surprising AI was there. Not surprising hybrid was there. What other, like, if there's something that was shocking or startling that you guys saw in the data set and in the responses, were there a few of those as
yes,
well?
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, it's interesting, right? The number one thing, if I ask anyone in staffing, what's the one thing your candidates ask for is pay. Right? That's never going to go away. It's always, what can you pay me? And that's always been a continuous result that we've seen. But guys, here's what really shocked me. The second and third thing were completely different than what we've seen. Second thing that came up was job security is more important. As we go through this uncertain times in the economy, a lot of workers said that they want job security, that they want to know that their organizations are going to, you know, allow them to stay on and grow within the same company. The third thing that came up was treat me with respect. I thought this was very interesting because, you know, obviously we all talk about that, right? We all have certain processes in place in our organizations and we say, okay, let's respect each other, let's empower each other. But if it wasn't an issue, it wouldn't have come up, right? So the one thing that was really said was treat me with respect. It was a top priority because they said that it was going to build loyalty and it was going to really get them to stay within an organization, right? So that was, I thought, probably one of the biggest things because we've seen, you know, the work from home, the flexibility, right? The training, the upskilling, we've seen those over the years. But the respect piece was a new piece that was added that kind of set it apart this year. It was different.
That's interesting. I mean, to make the obvious joke about Aretha Franklin, but I'll
try to say
it. Well, it ties into hybrid. It ties into remote, right? Because if you respect somebody, you're going to give them some flexibility.
Absolutely.
And I think this idea of transparency, like, and stop hiding. if Lauren, if I join Lauren or Lauren joins my organization and I don't give her a clear path, you know, after 3 months, like, hey, Lauren, I'm going to get to know you a little bit and then I'm going to give you a clear path for your career. Or Z, I'm going to give you, and then maybe be so transparent to be like, hey, I really want to put you here, but I don't think you have this. And let them go figure it out, right? Like,
right. Or
I think there's so many different ways to show respect. And if the goal, and again, I think people are afraid of losing their jobs. So there is this job security focus, right? That's not what they're, AI is it's like with great power comes great terror.
But AI will net positive jobs. Yeah. I mean, it's estimated that AI will eliminate 85 million jobs, but it will create 92 million.
Yeah.
So, you know,
that's great.
Again, you know, I think this is where when we enable and we train and we remove the fear, you know, that's why we built our course. You know, obviously, I'm going to talk about it. We have our AI course on for that very reason, is so that we can remove the fear from this and help them understand that you will be one of the ones that stay because you know how to leverage these powerful tools and meaningful ways.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, Lauren, it's funny that you said that, but it does tie in together, right? I just calling to talk about it, but going back to Amazon, right? There was always this conversation around, well, Amazon using AI is going to really take jobs away from people. But what it did is it allowed them to deliver to the customer much quicker, and it actually created more jobs, right? So I agree with you 100%. It's not a matter of it's going to take over the jobs. It's going to potentially transition them and change them, but it's actually going to create more jobs than we think it will.
Well,
yes.
I was listening to HubSpot, or it's New Breed, which is the number one of HubSpot's number one partner for implementation and also for strategy. And they had one of the guys from HubSpot on, and they were like, hey, what's one of the most important things for your workforce because of AI and the development of AI happening so rapidly? Like, you know, it used to take 5 years for like major cycles of dev and innovation. Now it's happening in under a month sometimes. And like, my mind is spinning, and Lauren and I do nothing but look at technology all day or talk about it. So this guy was like, well,
I have looked at over 45 AI products.
Well, see, and I probably am close. I'm definitely close to that. And so this guy from HubSpot, he's the head of platform or marketplace platform. He was like, training your workforce continuously because of the way that innovation is happening could be a great way to show respect and also attract new talent, because you can tell people of the path that these people have taken, the success they've had, and also retain that talent, because why are they going to leave you if you are making them more valuable in your organization, but also making their skills, to our whole point of this, more valuable? So anyway, is there anything else from a retain and attract talent piece that came up that you see from the data?
Yeah, absolutely. So just going back to what, you know, you actually touched on it a little, was, you know, what does respect mean, right? The remote hybrid work is a big part of that. The other part was the company, you know, having a good company culture and having flexible scheduling. A lot of the workers, their response was, I want my employer to be understanding of my personal obligation, right? If I have an emergency, I don't want to have to give too much detail, but I want them to understand that I have this, and I want them to trust that I'm going to handle this and then come back, right? The same thing came up with parents working from home, right? If I have my children at home, I want my employer to trust that I'm going to be able to take care of my child and at the same time get my production in. So I think that's a really big piece. And then, of course, advancement opportunities. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. I'm going to continue talking about this, right?
Please elaborate on that, because I think this goes back to that.
Yeah.
Being transparent about the opportunities, but then also setting real expectations, delivering.
Absolutely. You know, what is the next step, right? What is the next step for me? Not just professionally, right? It's not about titles or salaries. It's about what can I learn? What can I continue to learn, right? And what is my employer going to do to support me and allow me to be able to do that? I think that's really the biggest piece, right? We talk about a lot of, you know, we're in the process of hiring a lot of individuals, and we talk about the enterprise model, right? And I've always found that very intriguing, because at enterprise, they have this program where every year or 2 years, you have to switch your position or get promoted. So that allows their employees to really take it to the next level. Obviously, they look at the performance and everything, but I just thought that was really interesting and a big takeaway, right? Because if you look at enterprise and their employees, they stay. They actually foster probably one of the most impressive retention rates I've seen in my 20 years of experience.
I have a more than one handful, maybe two or three handfuls of owners of staffing companies who have gone through enterprise training. The other one, which was surprising, that one of the travel nursing groups in Omaha said was Victoria's Secret has an incredible managerial training program as well. So those two are people have said to me, like, we love enterprise. We love car rental places. And, you know, like Victoria's Secret also just happens to have an incredible manager training program as
That's
well.
That's amazing.
By the way, EmployBridge is hiring a lot of really good talent here. It is noted all the badasses you guys have been.
Yeah, I love it. Like, I mean,
you are skipping up all the badasses. Vinda's one of them. So you're so lucky to
Danielle, the marketing team. Yes. You guys have Dan from Vaco. I was these guys
got some great talent.
I'm excited. We're definitely moving in. Well, we've been moving in the right direction, but I think we're moving in the best direction right now because I agree with both of you. We're definitely bringing in some amazing talent and I'm excited.
Well, so what do you think we're doing wrong? What are we? I mean, we've talked a lot about, you know, some startling trends, you know, I think that we in particular in the staffing and recruiting industry have said this a long time. If we want to raise pay rates, got to start with us. Yeah. You know, we haven't moved the needle on pay rates. We have a lot of power in that, you know, particularly in a downed economy. When we tend to do, you know, our balance sheet gets a little bit stronger because people want to hire full time. They want to hire a contingent. And so I think it's really important that we understand, you know, what we're doing right and where we have areas for improvement.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. And, you know, it's so funny because I went back and to prep for this, I was looking at kind of some of our data at EmployBridge and Voice of the American Workforce survey that we do, right? Or the worker survey that we do. And, you know, interestingly enough, a lot of the information or a lot of the numbers that we usually try to do our research on is looking at the market and the U.S. economy, right? Through the Great Recession and all the things that we've seen, right? Pandemic, all the changes that we've seen in the market. Well, my new thing is I'm calling it the Great Retention. You know, and I'm going to say hashtagging, right? It's creating that great retention. And I am telling you all, we're sitting on our solution and it's upskilling and it's training because that is the one thing I think, whether it's our industry or what I've seen in our client partners, companies are not doing enough of it. And if they are doing it, they're not doing it fast enough, right? When we did the survey, about 61% of employees said that they're willing to invest their own personal time for training and upskilling. They don't even want to get paid for it, right? They are willing to invest their own time. And the World Economic Forum projected that about 1 billion people globally are going to be, or they're going to need to be reskilled by 2030, right? So going back to those AI jobs that we're creating, people need to be reskilled. People need to get trained up, right? Leveled up. The majority of the time, we look at talent outside of the companies that we hire or work for, but really you can train existing employees that are there because a lot of them are willing to take the next step, right? And about 41% of the workers agreed that in order for them to do their job well, they really need to get significantly improved skills training in order for them to be able to do their job just within the next couple of years, right? So I think those things are really the big things that I feel, you know, I honestly, at EmployBridge, we certainly try to do a lot of training, right? And upskilling our existing employees. Same thing with a lot of our clients that we work with. I just don't know if it's enough of it or if we're doing it fast enough, right? Because time is flying. AI is here. It's moving very fast. Lauren, you just said you look at how many technologies, right? In one day, it's here. It's creating more jobs, right? Well, so we just need to get on it.
Yeah. So Lauren is, every recruiting business needs to be trained on AI. Every member of your team needs to be trained on AI. I think I'll be disappointed if Lauren and anyone else who's offering AI training doesn't do 1 to 200 in 2024. I think I told Lauren the other day, she's going to do at least 100 AI trainings in 2024. So if you want to message Lauren or I and learn about her training, you can DM us on LinkedIn or email us. The only reason I say that too, and to see your point, Ziba, is that people don't know what AI is going to be able to do 6 months from now, 3 months from now, 2 months from now. But we do know what it can do right now. And you need to start using it right now so that you are paying attention to the signals that come of what it can do. So when it can do more advanced things, not that generating content and images and all this stuff is great, machine learning, but eventually it's going to be able to do a lot more. And if you don't have the fundamentals of prompting it, then you're going to have to catch up.
You're already going to be in there.
If you start right now and train your team how to prompt and to start paying attention to it, you will have more opportunity when it actually, and when it gets even more intense and crazy of what it can actually do. So I think Lauren's going to do way more than 100. I'm just throwing it out there because I think every organization needs to do this training. And they need to invest in their team. And if you ever, you went back, see, and listened to a bunch of our episodes of Prayer for This, which we love, by the way.
We're supposed to share that, Rob.
We love it.
We think it's great. Yeah. But did you hear how many times Lauren and I mentioned that you should be training and upskilling your team? I don't know. And maybe it probably conservatively we say at least once every other episode, if not every episode.
Yeah.
And like, we've been preaching this for 3 years now, Laura? Like, I don't think we've really shied away from train, upskill, train. And it's not onboarding. That happens once, when someone joins your organization. Or if you switch ATSs or you have a major shift in a paradigm on how you do things. Training happens every week. And it could be on technology. It could be on sales. It could be on conversations. It could be on financial literacy. That was a great way to keep people. That's a great way to create satisfaction with your workforce, giving them skills that are going to make them have an easier time taking care of their family, putting more food on. Like, that is how you attract and retain your workforce, training them on any number of things. So if you can't think of things to train them on, I'm sure I can do it, or Lauren can do it.
There is no, with as quickly as our industry moves, there is always an opportunity for training and for adding value. Your systems don't remain stagnant. Your people don't remain stagnant. You should not remain stagnant. And in staffing in particular, we have a habit of cutting training first when times get tough. And that is
training.
Training, IT, and marketing. Like, get the
add
first. And I feel like that's the trifecta that you need the most when we're in times like this.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. And really to cut costs, right? You say, let's cut costs and not do training, but that's the worst thing you can do for the future of your company.
Right. Yep.
All right. I'm going to cut us there, ladies. We're about right where we want to be time-wise. Any quick closing thoughts?
No, just, I agree with you 100%. You know, Lauren, it's funny because I wrote down, I'm like, let's have somebody from EV reach out to Lauren right away and get some training on the books, because I think that's so important. Because, I just had this conversation with a colleague and we talked about, technology and the lack of knowledge, right? We've been to many conferences. I've talked to so many individuals in our industry, and guys, no one knows, right? No one knows about how it's impacting us. So many things are changing around it, and it's not a topic that's comfortable to talk about, quite frankly, when it comes to technology. I'm one of the first people, right? As soon as we start talking about it, it starts to become very overwhelming, right? And I don't want to talk about something I'm not educated on. So I would say that, take this information, right? Like I said, we share it with not just our clients, but any organization, and it does help, right? But we have to take action. It's one thing to know the data and talk about the data. It's another thing to actually take the next step. That being said, I love that you get to have me on. I don't have to ask you guys whether you're a dog or cat.
I love having you, Ziba. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that. I, truthfully, I didn't know that that report existed, and now I'm going to have to go look for it every year. So.
Every year, we'll be looking
for it. When does it come out every year, just so everyone knows?
So typically, we'll do it in the beginning of the year, and it will come out. We'll try to release it, you know, mid-year. Our supply chain side has already been released. Professional was really a little bit later. So it depends on what you're looking for, but we can definitely give you more data. Except for you, Rob, if you want it, it's going to cost you $1,000. For everyone else in the world, all right, just saying that. I cannot say it.
What's the fact that your name is Rob? It'll be $1,000.
All right. Well, Z, thank you, LJ. Always
thank you,
a pleasure.
Thank you. We appreciate
you guys. Well, much
for
having me.
Thank you for listening to the You Own the Experience podcast.
You can catch all our previous episodes at whyelitepodcast.com and learn more about our thriving staffing community by signing up for the Why Elite newsletter.
And coming soon is Staffing Huddle, an online open community dedicated to your staffing success.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Lauren. Go do something good.
Bye, guys.